Okay. Yeah. Now, without further ado, now I understand that there is a concern about the snow, right? But that's... Yes. Yes, it is. No, but I didn't get to my point yet. Before you run out, right? Right? But that's what Amalek is. Asher Karcha. He comes to cool us down, right? To ignore the snow and to mevatel it. That's Mechias Amalek, right? Anyway, I understand that Rebbe Tzinwin generally gives a biography of a Gadol B'Yisrael, you know, in the spirit of Purim V'Nahafochu. We're going to discuss the biography of Haman HaRasha, right? Look, if he made it into the Torah, there's definitely something to learn, you know, if it's an example of what not to be. You take a look at, you know, the mentality that he exhibits throughout the Megillah, from the first moment that Mordechai refused to bow to him, "Vayivez be'enav l'shloach yad b'Mordechai levadoi ki yigidu lo am Mordechai," it's like, that's cheap. I don't just kill one person who doesn't bow to me. I kill out his whole nation. Sick, right? And we'll just fast forward a little bit about this, you know, him and Mordechai, and fast forward to towards the end of the Megillah. You know, Haman has walked out from the first Mishteh HaYayin that he had with Esther Amalka. And, you know, and Mordechai lo kam velo zam mimeno, doesn't move, doesn't tremble, right? Totally ignores Haman. All right, so that's it. This is serious. All right, so he comes in, he calls together the whole cabinet. Kol Ahavav v'Zeresh Ishto. Very interesting. Zeresh is not included in the klal of Kol Ahavav. Right? Right? The Kol Ahavav v'Zeresh Ishto, that's what it says, right? And he says, listen, he says, Roiv Ashro v'Rov Bono v'Esasher Gidlo HaMelech. He's got all this money, he's got all this power, he's got these great kids who also have powerful positions. V'Chol Ze Einenu Shoveli. Right, now this, it's all worth nothing to me, so long as I sing Mordechai Yehudi Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech. Right? It's all worthless just because one Jew won't get up and bow to him. But now he's, he has his whole cabinet there. Like, what would you say to such a person? Right? Let's go back. Everything I have is worthless to me. I have all the money in the world. I have everything. It's all worth me because there's one guy that doesn't pay attention to me. What would you say? What? Let it go, right? But what did they tell him? Right? You won't be happy till you kill him. Right? Imagine your husband comes back from work, talking about how it's too competitive in the workplace. You won't be happy till you kill the guy you're jealous of. Right? So, like, what are they thinking? We're talking about the whole Amaleki psychology over here. It's pretty sick. Right? It gets better. He comes back after giving Mordechai the ride. And, he comes back over v'chofui rosh. Right? In mourning, his daughter committed suicide and she dumped something very not nice on his head. Right? So, it's coming a little bit of chizuk. Right? A little bit of chizuk from his wife. So, what to call again? Chol Ahavav, and Zeresh Ishto. Tell him. It's same lashon over there. Right? Im zera yudim Mordechai asher chilosilim polifav lo tuchalo ki nafotivav, you're dead meat. A man wants a little bit of chizuk from his better half. She emptied the bank account and skipped town. Right? Right? So trying to understand a little bit, what's going through Haman's head, and seemingly there's a sick type of psychology amongst all Amalekim that when a man needs a little bit of support, the only way you'll be happy is if you kill your competitor, right? It's not working out, then you're dead meat. But the truth is, the sickest thing is, he's deciding that he's taken down the whole Jewish people. So, what's the first thing he does? He's taking down the whole Jewish people. Right? Poor. Right? Right? Throws lots. Which day would be the appropriate day to take down the Jewish people? you want to do any project in life, any major undertaking, let alone exterminating a whole people. All right, you want to build a house, let's say. You know, step one is, you know, getting the permits. Step two is making sure you have the money, right, et cetera, et cetera. The last thing you do is schedule the day when the tractors should come. The first thing he does is schedule the day, right? And then he goes to the king to ask permission to kill out a whole segment of his kingdom. Right? First, see if the king's mosque him, right? See what his price is, how he could be. No. And then, you know, work out with the king, you know, wherever's most convenient. And if it's not raining and if it's not snowing, so it'll be Yud Gimel Adar. He first decides what day it's going to be, and then he sees if it's possible in the first place. The truth is that the Amaleki mind is always a source of wonderment. From the very, very first encounter that they had with Am Yisrael, right, they took on a people that was just straggling in the desert. There would have been no glory, you know, Baderech, Vata Oyef Yager, there would have been no glory in that military campaign. No glory whatsoever. Right? Picks on the little guy that's just wandering in the desert. And for what? But more than that, he got defeated. And Chazal, you know, make it clear that he knew the risks. Right? But it's Moshe Lambati Rotachas. You have a very scalding hot bath. One guy jumps in. So even though he got scalded, right, he still cooled it down in the face of all the others. It was worth it for Amalek. It was worth it for him. If he would face a devastating defeat, right? Sorry, it was worth it for him. Now, what is this masochistic, suicidal type tendency? We know Amalek's matriarch, right, is Timnah. Timnah was a Pilegesh to Eliphaz. Everyone knows, you know, what Chazal tell us, right, that she was dying to get into Am Yisrael. And Avram rejected her, and Yitzhak Avinu rejected her. Right? And, you know, finally, you know, the people of Esav, which also from that bloodline, you know, are willing to take her as a Pilegesh, not even as a full married wife. Right? And that's fine. It's better to be a Pilegesh to this household, right, even to the lowest, you know, the lowest bloodline of this household, than to be a princess. She was a princess. She was of royalty. Right? So from that came Amalek. So that's something that needs to be understood. You would have thought that such admiration for the Jewish people is worth it for her just to be a Pilegesh. Right? Some connection, whatever connection. So she should have told her son, Amalek mein Kind. Right? Be good to the Jews. Wherever you see a Jew, be good to them, honor them. They're God's chosen. Maybe, if you work on yourself, you'll be worthy to be accepted in the Jewish people. But it's not what happens. All this admiration turns to hatred. Irrational hatred. And we have to understand why. And that's probably understanding why may give us a glimpse into why Avraham and Yitzhak rejected her. The pasuk says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you rest from all your enemies around you, on that, on this land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you for an inheritance, then you should blot out the memory of Amalek. You know what we read, you know, on Shabbos Zohar. So there's something very interesting to take a look at. You have rest from all your enemies around you. Right? So, then Timche Zecher Amalek. Where is Amalek? He seems to not be Bechlal Kol Oyvecha Misaviv. He's not part of that klal of all the enemies around you. Where is he? He's not Misaviv. Now, there's something in the Megillah. The Megillah talks about that, on Purim, you know, it was Noyach me'oivehem v'haroig besonehem. Right? We had rest from our enemies, and we killed those that, you know, that hate us. So it's very interesting too, you know, there's rest from the enemy, noch me'oy vehem, v'harov besoneim. There's two different types of people. There's an oyev and there's a sone. We had menucha, right? We had rest from our oyevim, but we killed our sonim. Right? It seems that killing the sone is something separate from having rest from your oyev. Now, an alarm should have gone off in your head that the Megillah is paraphrasing the pasuk that we just quoted from Parsha Zohar. Vaya baniach Hashem lokecha lecha mikol oyvecha. You have, right? HaKadosh gives you hanocha, you know, rest from kol oyvecha, noyach me'oyvehem. Right? But then timche zecher amolek. Right? It must be that that must be parallel to v'harog b'sonehem. The difference between an oyev and a soine. What's the difference between oyev and a soine? An oyev, right, someone you have a dispute with. Your enemy, right, is someone that you have a disagreement with. Right? Chazal say, you know, in the positive, ki da, and the pasuk can tell him, ki dabru oyevim bashar, right? You know, when the enemies speak at the gates, that's talking about in the base medrash. Da afilu av ubino arav v'talmido, right, even a Rebbe and a Talmud, even a fallen soul, when they're learning together, the Shar, the gates, is the Beis HaMedrash, when they're learning, Nasim Oivim tells it, they become enemies. You know, they scream, no, this is the Pshat. No, that's not the Pshat. This is the Pshat. Nasim Oivim Zelazet. Right, they become enemies. They have a disagreement, right, in the positive. You know, in the positive, disagreeing over the Pshat and the Sugya. Right, and Oyev is someone that you have a disagreement with. Disagreements can be solved. Right? Come to some type of compromise, come to some type of understanding. One will be mevater, right? Enemies can resolve their conflict because enemies are arguing over something. So either one side will give in, they'll compromise, whatever it'll be. Right? A sine, someone just hates you, just wants you dead. Right? There's no, he won't be happy till you're dead. That's, and that sort of explains the difference between the adversity we have with all the other Ummus Olam versus the adversity that we have with Amalek. Amalek just wants us dead. That's all he wants. And he's not happy until we'll be dead. We don't have a disagreement over something that we could go to the UN and talk it over. Right? Right? Yeah, right? Just wants us dead. So the question is, where is that obsession coming from? They just want the Jewish people gone. So by the way, I have to tell you a very beautiful vort. You know, based on what we just presented, a vort that I heard from years ago from Rosh Yeshiva in the Miami Yeshiva, Yochanan Zweig Shlita. Everyone knows the famous Chazal. Achashverosh says, "Mi hu zeh ve'ezeh hu?" Right? Who's this guy? So. Initially, Esther pointed at Achashverosh, Ish Tsar V'Oyev. Then the Malach came and Haman Arazeh. Right? The timing wasn't right to let Achashverosh have it. Right? So Ish Tsar V'Oyev. Then the Malach came and pushed it. Haman Arazeh. How did Chazal know? How did Chazal know that? Ish Tsar V'Oyev. So she was pointed at Achashverosh. Right? Amalek is not a Oyev, he's a Soine. Right? With an Oyev, you could come to some type of reconciliation. Like Lasi Lavo will come to some type of reconciliation with all the other nations. Right? And they'll accept Melech HaMashiach as their leader. Right? A Soine, there's no coming to no reconciliation because he just wants you dead. So the question is, you know, what type of circumstances could make it as such that made an Amalek such a sine to Am Yisrael. Right. Again, we're going to raise the question, where does Amalek stand? You know, where's his square on the chessboard of reality? Where does he stand? He's not bichlal kol eivecham misaviv. He's not part of that cloud of all the enemies that surround you. So where does he stand? Bilam HaRasha, when he sees Amalek, says, Rashis Goyim Amalek Vachariso Ade Oyved. He is the first amongst nations, but in the end, right? He will be destroyed. Ultimately, he will be obliterated. Reishis Goyim. First of Nations. What does that sound like? Sounds like Am Yisrael. Bereishis, Rashi says. Bereishis Yisrael, Shenikru Reishis. But there's a problem. Right? Because as we're taught in geometry, there's infinite points on a plane. There's room for everybody. But there's only one center. Or if you want to do it in terms of a timeline, you know, infinite different moments in time, there's only one first. There's no two first. Right? Amalek wants our position in reality. Right? How apropos, kol oivecha misaviv, Am Yisrael is the center, the reishis, right? The tachlis of the bria, that we're the first and all the nations are meant to follow us. There's only one first. Right? There's only one first, there's only one center. Amalek wants our place in reality. Right? So that's impossible. Right? Now, the truth is, he actually is pretty good at what he does. Yeah, in a sense that being an evil alternative to Am Yisrael, right? In a sense that Am Yisrael is destined to lead all the nations, will be the head of nations, Reishis, not just the first, as in leader and as in Roish, right? We're going to set the ideology for the whole world, right? Amok's very good at that, right? You know, he spoke three lines to Achashverosh, right? As I'm going to take a whole nation that brings a great deal of revenue to your country, and I'm going to kill them all, but trust me, it's good. Sounds good to me. That's, right? Spoke three lines to Achashverosh, and Achashverosh is convinced. Right? In Germany, just how many decades ago it was, one guy, he started just preaching on a soapbox in a park. Right? And then he gave his speeches in the Reichstag. Right? Got a whole nation riled up, right? Incited to genocide. Just with words. That's tremendous leadership power. That's tremendous charisma. Right? Amalek does have that capacity to be Reishis Goyim, right? To be the head of nations, to come. Take over the mind of a whole nation just with words. And that's the power of Lashon Hara. The Gemara says no one was such a master at Lashon Hara like Haman. Right? Just on words alone, rile up a whole people to genocide. He's good at what he wants to do. Right? A born leader. Right? Except that that position is reserved for Am Yisrael. What? Excuse me? So here's another point to realize, you know, the total depth of what's going on over here, right? How long is the first? No, like I say, like you know that split second. It's not even a second. A second is like how long is the first? Or let's put in let's talk spatially. How big is the center? Infinitesimal. It's an idea. Because if, you know, if time has any length to it, then you could subdivide that into half and cut that half into half and that half into half. And the center that we speak about in geometry is just an idea. Because if that dot takes up any space, you'll cut that, you know, cut it into its, you know, down to half and cut that half into half. It's an idea, right? Right? Am Yisrael was meant to be the ideologue of all nations, right? We're a nation in our own right, right? A nation in our own right, but supposed to serve the purpose of being the roish, as in the head, the machshava, give the ideology for the whole world, right? When we were given the Torah, it was with the mission to be an Or L'Goyim, right? A light unto nations. Right? So there's Am Yisrael, the Am, and there's how Am Yisrael is the Roish, right? The idea. Represents the idea, you know, teaches the idea that, right, the whole world should follow that ideology, that machshava. Right? Just like the center and the first just exists in thought. It's not something that exists in physical space. It's an idea. We're supposed to give the world the idea. Right? There are two types of idea. The true and the false. Right? Am Yisrael is the true idea. Right? We have the Torah, which is the Emes. Right? Amalek, you know, wants to, you know, come with an alternate idea that the whole world should follow. Right? That idea, by definition, is false. If it counters the Emes, then it must be the false. It must be, you know, untrue. That's why the Ramchal explains that throughout the Torah, you know, ever since the first war with Amalek, you know, in Parshas Bishalach, and then when it was spoken about again, right, in Parshas Kisetze, it says, Mocho emche zecher Amalek, timche es zecher Amalek. Blot out the idea. The idea, zecher. Right? Something which it doesn't say by the other enemies that, you know, the other nations that we have conflict with, like the Shiva Sa'amamin, like the seven nations that occupy our souls, Ahachrei Tachrimen, you know, wipe them out. Right? This Lashon, blot out the memory. Because right? Amalek is a concept that just invades the minds of nations. Right? Like a concept that could be embedded into the collective consciousness of a nation and just rile them up. Let's put a case in point. By the time of Mordechai and Esther, there was no such nation on the map called Amalek. Right? We had a few descendants of Agog. That's why it's called Haman Ha'agagi, from the house of Agog that Shaul spared. Right? They never rebuilt and became a nation again. Haman was a full-fledged Persian citizen. The idea of Amalek is what lives on. Right? And that's the danger that's out there. Right? It's like this virus that takes over the minds of nations. Right? But that idea, right? That idea is a false idea. Right? All the other nations have their ideology. Right? They're wrong. The ideology could be adjusted. Right? And they could be shown the true path. And they could have a legitimate place in God's world. Right? Amalek's idea is mamish contra, right, to the idea of Am Yisrael. And, you know, contra mamish, because he doesn't want to leave a place for Am Yisrael. He wants to take Am Yisrael's position, right, in reality. I want to be the first. I want to be the center. Right? Amalek does, which means, right, Amalek doesn't really exist. Now, what do I mean by that? I'll explain what I mean. Right. False ideas, right? Do they exist? Obviously not. They're false. But what happens if you believe in them? You give it artificial life, right? The whole world has their meshugasin that they believe in. And those meshugasin, shalohaya, velo nivra, moves a lot of money. Right? I can't get over it. It still, you know, makes my blood boil. Arayomazeh. Right? There's a mouse that moves a lot of money and that the whole wide world knows. Right? He's a lot more important than me, and that mouse doesn't even exist. Mickey, right? It's sick, right? Mickey Mouse, he has t-shirts and memorabilia and moves millions and millions of dollars, and even kids out in India, everyone knows Mickey. Right? Me, right? A false idea, even though mamish doesn't exist, lo haya velo nivra, if people believe in it, you bring it to life. Amalek is very good at getting people to believe in him, right? But to get people to believe in him, right, you have to create a certain vacuum. He has to create a vacuum that he can fill. Problem is, that vacuum that he wants to fill is Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael takes up that space, right? But if he could knock out Am Yisrael, he could fight his way into reality. He could fight his way into reality. That's what he's struggling for. Even if it takes suicide attacks. When Am Yisrael's down, right, in that gap is where Amalek could get in, right? Invade the consciousness of the world, right? Whereas the Jews are supposed to be the conscious of the world. Why does Hitler hate us so much? What did he write in Mein Kampf? The Jews gave the world a conscience. Gave us Machshava, right? He wants that spot. And he could fight his way into reality if he brings us into doubt and confusion. That's why Amalek, everyone knows, is Gematria Safek. Lead people into confusion, right? In that gap in clarity is how he can find his way into reality and make himself real. Real to the point that he's a real devastating force. What Avram and Yitzchak detected in Timna, this is a fanatical admiration for the Jewish people, right? Better even to be a concubine of a son of Esav, right? It's just some connection. You see, what a thought, her children will be Hasidei Umas Olam, right? The ones, you know, biggest fans of the Jewish people. Timna wanted to be real. She didn't want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Or at least it was adulterated with the rotzen that Am Yisrael, you know, is reality itself, right? Bonded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate reality. I want a piece of the action. I want to be real also. I want to have immortality, right? You know, but that's not why you convert. You convert to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You serve him, he'll give you immortality, but you're there to serve, not there to take, not there to siphon power. Right? They detected this sort of being in it for herself. Right? And she really believed, you know, Am Yisrael is hooked up with reality itself. You want to be real, you hang on to Am Yisrael. But it was for the sake of trying to validate herself, give herself immortality. So hang on to the Am HaNetzach, the eternal nation, to give herself immortality. That's why Avraham and Yitzchak rejected her. Right? You join Am Yisrael to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to serve, to give, not to get. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you, but that's his business. You're there to serve. Right? That's what Nasev and Nishma is all about. Am Yisrael has the position that they have because we are the nation of the Torah, which is supposed to be the ideology of the whole world. Right? But we said Nasev and Nishma. We did it. We accepted it unconditionally. Right? And that's how a convert has to convert also. Not for the sake of trying to siphon power. Right? So of course, you know, that unhealthy view, right, of what Torah is and what Avodas Hashem is, that you can siphon from it immortality, siphon off from God eternal power, right? So of course, you know, that's, you know, the message that got to her descendants was, you know, break into reality. Just her grandson, her son rather, and his descendants figured out another way to do it, right? If you take Am Yisrael down, right, you can make it into reality through the vacuum that it leaves. But it's just so amazing that Amalek has no real ideology. Like we said, Gematria Safek, right? Like the Gemara says, Hama min atar minayin, ha minayin. Adam, did you eat from the tree? Doubt, right? Because if there would be a solid ideology, there's a place for that in reality. There's no solid ideology. He wants to come with an alternate reality. He just wants to create doubt. Doubt is just nothingness, a vacuum. And then he could insert himself there. So Amalek is seeking to break into reality. The only way he could break into reality is by taking Am Yisrael down. And if Am Yisrael is there, He has no place in the world. That's why he's a sone. He just wants the Jewish people dead. Because with the Jewish people gone, in that vacuum, that vacuum is where he could get in. And without that vacuum, he rightfully feels that he's nothing, because he is nothing. He is the false idea. A contra to the true idea of the Torah, that's why I'm Purim, Hadar Kibbutz, Me'ach HaShverosh, the day of reacceptance of the Torah. Right? Amalek is a contra to the truth of the Torah. So he is the false idea. Get people confused, the false idea could enter the mind and take over. Right? It's a struggle to enter reality. The falsehood to enter reality and take over the minds of people, take over the whole world. Real world dominion. Right? That's why whenever Haman sees Mordechai, feels worthless. No matter how many kids he has, and no matter how much money he has, and how much political power he has, he feels worthless. Because that's the way the Jewish people make Amalekim feel. Right? They feel they don't really belong on this planet. Right? They're just here, as it were, by accident. Like Chazal tell us, Amalek is just nothing there but the whip that Akash whips us with. No tachlis of his own. No end goal of his own. Achariso, what's his end? Oh, Ade Obed, he's only here temporarily. Just there to test us, just there to punish us. Can't stand that. The Jewish people remind him that he has no eternal cause. He has no real eternal tachlis on this world. Right? So whenever Haman sees Mordechai, goes bananas, right? And he knows, I won't be satisfied just killing Mordechai, because there'll be another Jew, and there'll be another Jew. They'll all make me feel worthless, make me feel like I don't belong on the planet. He's got to take down the whole nation. Right? His family, they're all Amalekim. They know the truth. So they say, you're right. You're never going to be happy until you kill Mordechai. You won't. Right? Because the Jewish people remind us that we don't really belong. You know, we're trying to sell the world on an alternate ideology and an alternate destiny, right? The Jewish people remind us that we are the false idea and the falsehood doesn't exist at all, right? You're not going to be happy until you kill Mordechai. And then when you realize that the Jewish people aren't going anywhere, Nafal Tipol Afanav, didn't work out in this generation. She empties the bank account and skips town. Right? So now you could understand, right? The first thing he did was to go and throw lots. So we asked, that's crazy. No. Right? He has to find, first thing, where Am Yisrael's mazel has declined. Right? That's what he says. You know, when he saw that it fell on Ador, he's very happy. Because Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah, died in Ador. That means, as it were, the power of the Torah declines in Ador. Right? It's the day that, you know, fish, you know, mazel dogim, you know, they get swallowed. I'm going to swallow them up. The first thing he has to find is, he knows Am Yisrael's the emes. He has to find the nakuda where Am Yisrael's mazel has declined. That's the chink in the armor. And that's there I could get in. Right? And that's why the first thing is to look for a day where Am Yisrael's mazel is down. Right? It's not an issue of proper planning. You know, and doing due diligence. Right? Due diligence won't help him because Am Yisrael's reality itself, the whole world exists for Am Yisrael. He has to just look for where Am Yisrael's mazel is down. He finds a place where Am Yisrael's mazel is down. In that gap, I could get in. So first, let's find where they're vulnerable, where their mazel has declined. And in that, he gets in. The message of Purim of V'nafochu, Ha'evo Asher Nefach Lehem Me'evo L'Yomtev, right? Right, that the message is that Am Yisrael doesn't have bad luck, because the whole reality exists for Am Yisrael. It's not like Am Yisrael's most of reality. Even the month of Adar, which until that time was indeed, as it were, a bad luck month for Am Yisrael, until it changed in the days of Mordechai v'Esther, in the Meschus of the Tshuva that we did. Right, and the message is Am Yisrael belongs everywhere in reality. There's like no part of reality that doesn't belong to Am Yisrael. So now we can understand, someone here correctly pointed out, that Milchama L'Hashem Ba'amalek Midor Dor, right? There's an ongoing, the Klipa of Amalek, the Zecher Amalek, even if they're not a nation in their own right, ever since the days of Shaul HaMelech, there's no such nation on the globe called Amalek. And the Torah foresaw that and said, Timchez Zecher Amalek. Blot out the idea, the concept, the Zecher of Amalek, the ideas of Amalek, the idea of Amalek, that Klipa, that virus, that spiritual virus exists in every generation. Right? Whether it was in Germany, right? This idea, taking over the mind of a nation to kill out Am Yisrael. Why? Stam. Lama? Kacha. As we say in Israel. Lama? Kacha. Right? Let's take them down. Why? I'll explain it later. Lama? Kacha. Right? And in this generation, it's ISIS. Amalek, because he is capable of being racist goyim, right? Head of all nations, that klipa, right? That virus could wander from race to race to race. Be Aryan, and in this generation it could be Arab. You know, this idea of, right, just take down the Jewish people, period. Sign it, just for the purpose of knock them down, for the sake of taking them down. Deep down, he is seeking, trying to find his way into reality. And that's why suicide attacks are kedai for him. Whether it was in the original generation, jumping into the Ambati Rotachas, jumping into the scalding hot tub, right? Even though he knew he got burnt, he would get burnt. He knew the risks. And in this day and age, it's the suicide bombers of the jihadists. Lo mishane. It's worth it. Because even if I get burnt hurting the Jewish people, to whatever extent I could manage to hurt them, that makes room for me in reality. So it's kedai. Yes. Well, absolutely. Right. Yeah, except that the difference is that by us it's called the meat of bitachon, right? By him, you know, depending, because we're relying on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He is it's just the he's looking for Am Yisrael's down. If he could detect where Am Yisrael, and that's what he needs a lot. So he needs his astrology, because if there's no point where they're down, he doesn't get started, because his whole koach comes from how Am Yisrael's down, right? Whatever room Am Yisrael leaves him, because Am Yisrael's incomplete, that's where he gets in. That's why there's an adversarial, mutually exclusive relationship between them, because he only exists where we are down. And where we are lacking, that's where he is. Right? And that's it. The Rebbe should help. You know, the Amalek Gematria Suffolk, you know, wherever there's doubts, wherever there's like a vacuum in the mind and heart, that's where Amalek sets in. Right? We have to work, you know, on filling our minds, you know, always with Hirhurim of Kedusha, Bitachin, right? Total emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? He, Asher Karcha, he tries to cool you down. That lack of enthusiasm about Yiddishkeit leaves, you know, that it doesn't fill your whole heart. That's where he makes his way in. The Simcha of Purim, right? The total Simcha of Ad Lo Yoda, Ben Or HaMel Baruch Mordechai, is kind of that since we come to realization that even the bad things are in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there is no vacuum. So even Orer Haman, you know, does only good. He only, you know, Chazal say, we'll end with this. Gadol Asoras HaTabas, you'll tell me, Memches Nevi'im, V'zayin Nevi'im Shom L'Yisrael, Achashverosh giving that ring to Haman, did more good for Am Yisrael than all the 48 prophets and the 7 prophetesses that we had. Because no one got us to do tshuva like that act of giving the ring to Haman, that even Haman, with all his evil plans, in the end just does God's will. It's just a pawn of working with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we get real with that, that even the Hester upon him, right, all these things that we call bad, are all in service of the Kedusha, and there are no gaps in reality. It's all just Ratzon Hashem. That's the real Mechias HaMolek. And that's on Purim. V'noch Ma'evem, you're resting from your enemies. Right? It's talking about the 14th, when they rested. Right? They rested on the 14th. So what's Vaharav Sam? And they're killing those? No. The Simcha of Purim is what kills Amalek. The Simcha of Purim, the Simcha that fills the whole heart and leaves no gaps and leaves no doubts. That Simcha is the Haruk Basam. That's what the Mechias Amalek is on the day of Simcha, not on the 13th, that's going to be tomorrow. That's after that is Vinoch Mevem. But on the Simcha of Purim is the Haruk Bisoneim, right? The Sone, when we our hearts are filled with love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Simcha Shel Mitzvah, right? That leaving no gap in the heart and leaving no doubt, that's the Ikra Mechias Amalek. Beckhoffer, Yochanan Beckhoffer. Yes.